Hey guys, it's Eric.
It's Brittany.
And before we start today's show, we want to tell you about something new from For Color Nerds.
So we started the show a couple years ago in 2014 as a way to remain close as friends. But since then, it's kind of turned into this whole other thing as a result of all the support and love we have received from you guys, our listeners.
Yes, we're so thankful for that support, and we're really proud of what we've done with the show, and we absolutely love making it. But to be honest, it takes a lot of time,
yeah,
a lot of energy, mm-hmm. and a lot of resources, money, to put it out. We want the show to continue to get better, and we also want to release it more regularly. We hear you. Trust me, we hear you.
Trust me, we hear you.
But in order to do that, we need your help.
Yeah, so we have decided to launch a Patreon campaign. So Patreon is a website where we can set up a monthly contribution that will allow you guys to help support our show.
By giving to us on Patreon, you'll allow us to bring on a part-time staff member to help produce and promote the show. That way, you'll get the best For Color Nerds experience possible. There's a lot of research. There's a lot of editing. There's
yes.
just a whole bunch of things that go into producing the show each week. And we want to make sure we do that work.
Yes.
So we really want to bring in somebody to kind of help make sure that everything gets done.
In exchange for you guys helping us out, we can offer you some exclusive perks, such as content that you can't get anywhere else, and even deals on our merchandise,
yes.
our forthcoming merchandise, which you will find out more about very soon. And yeah, and if you want to help us out, you can give at patreon.com/forcolorednerds.
Every dollar really goes a long way. Again, that's patreon.com/forcolorednerds.
So if you want to help us make For Colored Nerds bigger and blacker than ever, we'll be just really grateful for your support. So help us out.
Thanks a lot.
Peace.
And here's the show. Hi, I'm Eric.
And I am Brittany.
And we are...
For Colored Nerds.
The conversations that black people have...
when white people aren't in the room.
But we record them.
And we put them on the internet.
How's it going?
Going good. It's honestly going good. We recently did something so cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
I was about to say, that's a little puffery there.
No, I think it's true, though. I think it's true. I'm proud of it. If y'all don't like it, fuck you.
But we had a live show, is what Brittany's talking about.
We had a live show.
And it went really well. It was at the Jerome L. Green Space.
Yes.
WNYC. We had some amazing guests. We had Ashley Ford, Van Newkirk.
Yes.
Van Newkirk the second.
The second, yeah.
Yeah, we did the thing. We talked about like Missy.
Yeah, we talked about The Wiz, talked about...
Butterflies.
Relationships.
I put a little bit of my business out there.
Yeah, I mean, what else is new? Spiritual yeah. growth. We talked about spiritual growth. We played a game, which we never fucking play any games.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had like, it was really fun. My parents actually came.
Yeah. They got lit. We went out afterwards. And we
I know. Everybody, actually, everyone had, I was actually just exhausted. I barely could eat. And I had like two drinks. I had three drinks.
I went in.
I know.
Yeah. Anytime we get a babysitter,
I know.
I have to get drunk.
Oh my God. It was like on Carla's birthday.
Yeah.
You acted it was your birthday.
Hey, you got to celebrate, you know? You got to celebrate.
Whatever life gives you.
Every moment.
Occasion.
Smell the roses.
But thank you guys for the show. We released it, I think, two episodes ago.
Yeah.
It's good. And if you haven't heard it, you should listen to it. You can also watch a YouTube video.
Yes. The link is in the show notes.
Yes. And but yeah, it was super fun. I had a great time.
I had a good time, too.
You had a good time? Yeah. I think Van and Ashley had a great time also.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll be able to do that again. So if you want a For Colored Nerds live show in New York or in your city, just ask people for it.
Yeah. Like, just I mean, ask. you can tell us.
You can tell us, yeah.
But you got to talk to other people.
Yeah, like venue owners.
Yeah.
You know, we're booking agents.
We're open to that.
We're open to that sort of thing. But yeah, it was super fun. And I hopefully we get to do it again. And thank you guys. So, you know, thank you. I think it was a major milestone in the lifetime of the show.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm really glad that that like enough people listen that somebody thought that we should do this.
Exactly. Like you described us. It's just, you know, a long time ago. It's something that stuck with me. It's just like two ashy blacks just out here trying to make it. You know, and now, you know, we were ashy in public.
Hey, we can afford lotion now. So we were just in public.
Hey. But we have a good show for you today.
Yeah, we do.
We have a special guest in the room.
Yes. So our guest today is a senior writer for Jezebel and has been for the past 2 years. And before that, she's been published, I want to say, in the announcement, like the hiring announcement that that Jezebel used. They said you've been published just about everywhere where, you know, good writing can be found. So please welcome Clover Hope.
Yes.
Hi. Yes. Happy to be here.
We're happy excited that you came.
Yeah, thanks.
We record on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd be probably sleeping still right now.
Yeah, it's a lot to ask.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
Yeah. No. We have no continental breakfast either.
Yeah. We need to get like some light cereals, yeah, some bagels.
Yeah, we should.
Coffee's good though. That's like, you know, that's all you need.
Yeah.
That's true.
But yeah, no, we're really excited to have you. You write about a lot of things, actually. Like, yeah, if you had to actually like describe your beat, what would you say it was?
Definitely pop culture and music and just like the entertainment sphere altogether. A lot of reality TV. A lot of just like, you know, whatever like the cultural kind of like talk of the like phenomenons are at the moment, whether it's like film, TV, or music. I kind of cover that, so, and it's like I'm obsessed with it, so
yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, we are too.
Yeah,
that's good. It's easy to say.
There's some evidence.
Yeah, but we really, honestly, we really love your writing. We've talked about it a bunch. Like, I wish we could, like, we need to have better show notes so we could like actually yeah, go and source like which episodes.
Yeah, it was like basically like because we went to like your Kindred page, which is like how you see what people in the Gawker Media group like have written over time, and it was just like bam, 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 bam. Like, and not only just like you've written a lot of stuff that we like, you write a ton of stuff in general. Like,
yeah, it's very, the daily output at Gawker is pretty extensive, I guess. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, I'll do like maybe 2 to 4 posts a day kind of. And then, you know, the long term stuff, I have a little more time to work on. But like reviews and things like that, or like, yeah, you know, like a movie, an album review, or like a show recap, you know, I have a little more time to work on that stuff.
So how did you get started writing? Where are you from also?
I'm from Queens. I started writing, I mean, I was doing like stupid little poems and like when I was a teenager, and I never really knew what I wanted to do because I wanted to do everything. Uh-huh. I was like curious about everything. So when I went into college, I spent a year at Temple, undecided as a major, and then mm-hmm, I kind of like picked digital recording. I wanted to be like guru, like Jay-Z's engineer.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
I actually just saw him.
Really?
Recently.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I wanted to be like the, like, not the female guru, like, you know, like the female guru, like actually in the studio, because you don't really see a lot of like black female.
Yeah, no, you don't.
You know, like engineers like shouted out or like put out there in public, like, you know, like the guys are. So. And I was just really interested in music. Like, I love music. So I kind of did that. And then, like, I transferred to NYU. I kind of randomly picked journalism because I was like, I'm a good writer. People told me I was, like, good at writing. And I was interested in media. So I just kind of picked it. But I was going to switch once I got there. Mm-hmm. And I just ended up sticking with it. So that's how. I guess it's just, like, my natural writing ability kind of like manifests itself. The game chose me, I yeah, guess, like as they say. And then like I just kind of started writing, and I did an internship at Vibe my last year at NYU, and then just kept writing for like XXL, a lot of mostly music writing, and then like spreading out a little bit into places like Wired and like GQ.com, ESPN magazine. I would write for like anything. Just because I'm, like, curious about a lot of things, whether it's, like, entertainment or sports or style or just random facts and, like, Discovery Channel stuff. Like, I'll just, like, randomly watch Discovery Channel. Writing lets me do that. Just write about anything.
I mean, that's awesome. I mean, that's yeah, a little bit what we do, although we have to, yeah, we're, like, constrained to a, like, smaller output.
Yeah. Right, yeah. We can't fire off, like, yeah, 5 of these things a week the way you've been yeah, putting out these yeah, fire pieces.
I'm going to slow down eventually.
Yeah, I just even think about, like, you had one of the first, like, post-Lemonade,
yeah,
like, reviews, that which, like, blew my mind. Like, I remember reading it because, like, somebody had asked me to write something, mm-hmm, and I remember, like, reading yours, and I was like, God damn it, I'm not going to be able to put nothing together like this shit. Like, this is not going to happen.
It came out Friday. right? Or was it Saturday? It was Saturday, yeah. And I think I had it up Tuesday or something. It was like a lot of, it's hard to write about stuff like that, that like everyone is talking about and you're kind of trying to have like your own spin on it. So yeah, it's like hard to like get thoughts together that actually sound like nice and like make sense. But yeah, thank you. It was, you know, I love that album so much. Like, I love that experience so much.
I found myself listening to it yesterday, like Daddy Lessons. I was just like, I was in some type of mood yesterday when I woke up and I was on my way to work and I was like, you know what? I'm going to listen to Daddy Lessons. And I was like feeling sorry for myself. And then I listened to it and I was like, Beyonce already claimed this year for me. Beyonce already claimed.
Yeah.
She said 2016 going to work in my favor. So I was like, I do not need to fear. I do not need to be afraid.
Yeah. Did you go to the tour?
No. I need to go to the tour.
It's so good.
I know. I wanted to go, but it's just like, the day that came for me to buy tickets, like I had so much to do work wise, I completely forgot about it until 3 days later.
Yeah, and you have to dedicate yourself to buying the tickets because you have to like keep refreshing and like it's a job.
Yeah, I think I might. I actually considering going to Philadelphia in the fall. Like, I want to. Yeah, it's just
you should. It's worth it.
My younger sister, she had box seats at Citi Field two days in a row and didn't take anyone in my family and just set petty Snapchats. Tiffany.
That's funny.
That's like, I mean, that's a hookup. Like,
yeah. I'm like, how
be,
you gonna?
Your sister might be the plug.
You gotta do, when you do stuff like that, you just gotta tell no. If you're not bringing somebody in your family, you shouldn't tell them until months later.
That's true.
Or you should be like, yeah, I happened upon some tickets. Don't ever give people evidence that you're right then in the box because they'll be waiting for you with brass knuckles outside. Yeah. Ticket turnstile.
It's like winning the lottery.
Yeah. You don't tell people.
You just gotta shut up.
Yep.
Spend this money. Stay exactly. on a bill. But yes, most recently we actually talked about your writing kind of around Nina. Mm. I mean, so to recap, obviously Nina hasn't come out yet, but the trailer for Nina came out. And there's been constant, I guess, controversy, if you will, around this movie because of the ridiculousness of choosing kind of Zoe Saldana to play Nina Simone. And I mean, you had a few pieces out, and I actually think you published one somewhere recently about it.
Yeah, I can't remember the last thing I did. Actually, it's funny because I read just yesterday Tessa Thompson was talking about it. It was like an Essence post. And she was like she's not sure Zoe would be her first pick for that role and just how like it just didn't match what like Nina's whole philosophy was or Zoe's whole persona just like and just obviously her look doesn't match anything like Nina stood for. Yeah, that still makes me upset. I'm not going to see it. So
yeah, I mean, we talked about the same thing. Yeah. It's not going down.
It also, I mean, it also looks terrible.
It looks really bad.
Yeah.
So like, it wasn't even like something like where I could like if I saw the trailer and I was like, you know what, she has this prosthesis on, but she surprised the hell out of me. Or like, this looks extremely high quality.
Yeah.
Like it looks like something that could almost pass for a Lifetime like Tuesday night premiere.
Yeah, it looked like satire. Like I thought it was a parody at first, and I was like, "Oh no, this is the actual trailer. Like this is what they're doing."
Yeah, it looks like a parody. Exactly.
They mean it though, but they mean it.
Which is really troubling.
The thing is that she keeps like defending it still, which you know I get. You have to, it's her project.
Yeah, you gotta
but
die on that mountain.
It's kind of maybe like in her own personal life, she's like, "Damn, why did I do that?" But yeah, I can't even. The trailer is just like so bad, I can't watch it.
So there was another post that you actually didn't write. I think this one was from Kara Brown, but I thought it was really good. Also, it actually listed the production staff, and you could see how they were all white.
Yeah, that was great because there was all the controversy around it was like, like people were talking about it. And then it's like, all right, well, let's peel it back and like see who is actually working on this. And it's all white faces.
Yeah.
And then like their justifications for it, because I think she she got an email from like one or two people. And it was like, you know, we're doing it justice. We're, you know, this we believe in this project. We believe. But it's like, well, the actual execution of it does not show that you understand, like, what Nina Simone actually, like, stood for and, like, what she was about. And the Netflix documentary, What Happened to Nina Simone, was actually really great. And, Like, I would encourage people to watch that, like, versus, like, this, like, coonery.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I just don't get it. I don't get how it happened. I don't get how it, like, kept happening. Like, at some point, they had to be like, okay, people are not going to support this. Like, how can we make up for that?
Well, like they did with the Aaliyah, like, biopic on Lifetime. They, I mean, they said they're like, oh, we didn't go with Zendaya because she had a scheduling conflict. But, like, I would say I had a scheduling conflict if I realized that I was about to make a terrible career-defining decision. Like, I would just back out or I would find somebody else. Like, sometimes when people have backlash, it's, like, not for no reason.
Yeah, it's good that Zendaya backed out of that. That was probably, like, one of the best decisions
that she
made. Yeah.
Ever made.
Yeah.
But even like, even going back to Nina, like, the production itself was also really drawn out. Like, I feel like they announced this movie with her a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they just, at every turn, have chose to, like, keep doing wrong. Like, it's crazy. So we talked about that controversy with Nina. At the same time, in the same episode, that we actually we talked about Ghostbusters as well.
Yes. Around, well, like, it was, like, earlier this year, finally, like, the Ghostbusters trailer was released because they decided to revamp, like, the 1984 original franchise with an all-female cast, which, like, in my mind, I hoped, like, I thought that was such a bizarre, like, point to sell the movie on, but nobody cares what I think. So basically, like, the plot of the movie is that, okay, well, it's interesting because the IMDb summary says that three former parapsychology professors set up shop as a unique ghost removal service. Obviously, there are four stars, though. So you've got, like, Aaron Gilbert, who's played by Kristen Wiig, Abby Yates, who's played by Melissa McCarthy, Jillian Holtzman, who's played by Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live, and Patty Tolan, who's played by Leslie Jones, who's also from Saturday Night Live. And the first three, like, Aaron, Abby, Jillian, are all scientists, like, who study, you know, the paranormal. And the fourth, Patty, is an MTA worker who's also a black woman. The other three women are white. So we saw the movie yesterday.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I think after we discussed, like the reason for our discussion was just like the way that that Leslie Jones' character, Patty, came off in the trailer.
Yeah.
It just seemed like it could have been some, there could have been some buffoonery afoot.
Yeah, like it seemed, I mean, and Leslie Jones is known for kind of this like brash, like humor, if you will. And
physical humor, yeah.
Exactly.
Physical humor, yeah.
And it seemed like it was being played like to the max in the trailer. So like that coupled with the fact that, you know, like even in the description, like she's kind of erased, you know, from like from the movie, if you will, because she's not a quote unquote scientist.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like all that just left kind of a real, real bad taste in my mouth initially. But you're right. So we went to go see the movie.
Yeah, we were still curious. And I had heard like a variety of things, but I had heard I'd heard from enough people that I trusted that it was worth seeing that I was like, we should probably check it out.
Yeah. And Paul Feig, I mean, generally I like his movies. Like his movies are usually pretty good.
Yeah.
Melissa and all the other people in it, like everybody I kind of like, you know, like I don't have issues with anybody in the movie. So I was like, oh, these are all really, really skilled comedians.
Yeah.
You know, put them all in a room.
Yeah.
I'm down. So yeah, so we went to go see it yesterday. And what were your thoughts, Brie?
Overall, I enjoyed it. I thought it was like, when Bay asked me what I thought of it, I was like, I mean, if I had children, like, I would probably take my kids to go see Ghostbusters. Like, it was cute. Mm. It was funny. Overall, I liked it. I thought Leslie Jones, definitely, like, the performance, like, the character that she had was much more fleshed out than that character appeared in the trailer. But I still thought that, like, they could have done more with her. Like, for how funny she is and how, like, even just, like, I got to see a different side of her in the film. And, like, I thought that her performance was good enough that I would have liked to have seen more of her. But still, I thought she had a great performance and timing. There were a couple moments where I was kind of disappointed. But we can get into those in a minute. But overall, a lot of the things that typically, like, if you take Leslie Jones' character out of it, and even still, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be by any stretch of the means. I wish she could have had more to do. But the actual film itself overall, I thought that it was like, I thought it was like pretty decently well done. There was some plot stuff that was kind of, you know, clunky, but it's also like, it's Ghostbusters. I wasn't expecting like, you know what I mean? I just wasn't expecting like five easy pieces. But I, like, there were some things, like, yeah, overall I thought it was pretty good, but there were some things that I thought were done really well, and there were some things that I wish would have been different or had been done better.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually much more glowing than I would get. I guess, I mean, interesting enough, and Clover, we were talking about this very briefly before. Like, my expectations, I guess, I don't know when they got higher.
Yeah, I was going to say, my expectations were never... Well, the other thing we were talking about last night, so, like, Chris Hemsworth is in this movie. I didn't know who that was. I thought there was this real fine Australian man who was in the film, and I was like, he is
Thor.
Sexy. Like, yeah, right, and Eric keeps being like, that's Thor, and I'm like, okay, like, how many of those movies are there? Like, when did they come out?
And I'm like, they're at, like, 16.
Yeah, so, like, I've never... I have the last comic book superhero or whatever movie I saw was Iron Man. I had a really traumatic Iron Man 2 experience a few years ago where, like, someone thought people were shooting in the theater, so everybody ran out. Once I think actually I never went back to a superhero movie after that because it was just, now I think about it, it was just probably too bizarre. So I've seen half of Iron Man 2, and that is the last time that I've seen any superhero film at all.
Yeah, I like the first Thor with him. He's pretty, yeah, he's decent. I know that they cast him, like, he's this beefy, beefcake.
Like, he played this, he plays, like, kind of, like, the dumb office blonde that they hire to, like, be their administrative support. He mostly just, like, walks around looking sexy and doing very, very, very ridiculous things. Yeah. He was actually, like, his part I thought was great, and it was really hilarious. But, like, yeah, I didn't know, like, Eric and I, we're coming from two different viewing. Like, I don't see any comic book movies, and I don't... Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I didn't know who Chris Hemsworth was. I know this person's name. I know he's very famous. I didn't know who that was. I saw him. I watched him for 2 hours, and I was like, who is this newcomer?
That's
well,
funny.
Yeah, I mean, I see them all. and, like, I don't know. I guess maybe that's, like, in general. I'm thinking, like, summer blockbuster. Like, you know, almost nothing is as bad as, like, Batman versus Superman. But
oh, my God.
You saw? Both of you saw this?
Yeah. I saw it in a theater.
I saw it in a theater, too. It was
terrible. I knew it was going to be a mess, but I kind of wanted to see how bad it was amongst people. Yeah. And it was just, like, it was so bad.
But other than that, like, movies, like, blockbuster movies have actually generally been pretty good. So, I came into it with not the highest of hopes, but I thought I was going to like it. And... It wasn't that I didn't like it. I was just much more meh about it than I anticipated. Like, I thought the performances were generally, like, really good.
Yeah.
I just didn't think anybody really had enough to work with, you know?
Like, I could see that.
Like, Kristen Wiig, you know, Melissa McCarthy, Kate McKinnon, and Leslie Jones are, like, really, really skilled comedians and, like, all really, really good at, like, physical humor and those kind of, like, quippy, like, you know, sarcastic.
Like one-liners.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
And, like, they got some of that, but the story that was built around it
was
kind of lame. But, the thing that I did, the parts that I really did enjoy, I thought were really cool, were actually more of the, like, action-oriented parts. Like, there was a lot more action for, like, in this movie than the other two Ghostbusters, which was kind of neat.
See, I can't. One of the main reasons why I can't watch action movies, I don't like them because maybe this is because of, like, a Michael Bay Transformers issue. I'm watching any combat scene, I'm sitting there like, what is going on? I can't follow them. So it's like a lot of, like, certain plot points usually are advanced in action movies in the action sequences. And because I have no clue what's going on, I can't follow the movie.
I think part of that is you have to, if the story isn't outlined right and, like, you don't know what's going on, it's probably because, like, they haven't, like, told the story. They haven't, like, explained why you should care, like, at this moment. Mm-hmm. Or, like, the end goal of this fight is this, you know? Like, or, you know, what each person's agenda is in the fight itself. I think, like, that's kind of tied to, like, the story not being, like, fleshed out. Whatever.
No, exactly. And that was kind of the issue here, but it was still, like, cool to watch just because, like, you don't see many women, especially women that look like Leslie Jones and Melissa McCarthy like the slow-mo, like, I'm doing boss shit
action shots. That was cool.
And there was a lot of that.
The other thing too that I thought was great is that there was not a single reference or joke about fatness or size about Leslie Jones or Melissa McCarthy or anybody in the film at all. It was so nice. And it was like something actually I didn't think about. Like I didn't even realize it until I was like taking the bus home last night. And I was just like, oh, like that was great. It was like, it was nice that like they were just people. Like they were like, no, it wasn't like their size was not used as like some sort of gag. And it also wasn't used as like some sort of weapon. You know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't. It was, there was like nobody was made fun of or used in that way. And I really, really, really enjoyed that, especially about the fight sequences.
And I think that eased a lot of the tension and like apprehension I had around Leslie Jones's character, because I feel like sometimes, like a lot of times people are like playing that up with her to the point where we understand like you're kind of like taking the ammunition out of this to a certain degree, because she kind of uses that in her humor as well. But it can be distracting, especially in like this largely white context. I think that did help a lot with a lot of the initial concerns I had going with Leslie Jones's character. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I kind of feel like they just didn't have that much to do. Mm-hmm. Like, they were all pretty funny. Kate McKinnon was actually really, really good.
See, the thing about Kate McKinnon is, like, I don't know that much about her. Like, I know she was on the Big Gay Sketch Show, which I used to intern for when I was, this is probably like 10 years ago. And I remember her from there, and I remember her being funny on that show. I know she's on Saturday Night Live, but I don't watch that show, so I've never really seen, like, I don't know anything about her. But I thought I could tell that she was giving a great performance in the film, but not everything that she did made me laugh, which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing. Like, I don't think that makes somebody unfunny. It just means that, like, maybe what they're doing is not, like, necessarily, like, my box of
She has,
chocolates.
Like, a few good... She does a really good Bieber impression. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, and an Ellen impression that's really good.
Oh, I've heard about the Ellen.
Yeah, I find her... she's really great with that. She's one of Saturday Night Live's best character players. I haven't seen the movie, but like I have read around it and like the expectations part of it, which I think is interesting just because it's like a remake. So obviously there will be like these set of expectations that, you know, like comparing it to the original and like comparing the cast, and it's all women. So there's obviously this high, maybe not even high, just like you really want it to be good. Yeah. You like want it to be like the best thing ever, because it's like, all right, yeah, it's like this all female cast of this like iconic franchise, you know? And so maybe people had that type of hope or expectation, optimism for it, and it wasn't really met to that level, which doesn't mean like it's bad, like you said. Yeah. It's just like it didn't really match like in people's heads people wanted it to be.
Yeah. And also, like, if you have like any movie, if it's all black, because everybody remembers what happened with like The Best Man and The Best Man Holiday, or if it's all women, then it's kind of like it has to be fantastic or else it's like a failure. And like if there's any chink in the armor, then like who, you know, the powers that be will find a way to not finance something like this again. So it kind of like feels like you have all of these hopes like riding on the success of this film. But like I thought it was definitely worthy of a sequel. Like I watched it and I was like, oh, I'd like to see, like, I thought they had good chemistry. And I think that like with some tinkering and like now that I think they've seen what everybody can do, I think that like they could, I think they could make another one and be really, really good.
I agree. I mean, I think initially I felt like it was almost like the first time you really get some money, you know what I'm saying? Like, because like you don't really know what to
new
do.
New money,
like new money. Like I'm grabbing everything. I'm just doing everything, and it's the product still came out good. Like obviously you're happy, but like once you get like a financial advisor, you know, you can like say, okay, I need this. Let me plan this. I think that is kind of how I see them coming into the sequel, which makes me really excited because I think, you know, once they realize like, you have some real comedic weapons here that you could like really play around with. You don't have to worry about exposition as much.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes me think of like Batman Begins and Dark Knight, where it was like, all right, Batman Begins was like good. It was like, I liked it. Dark Knight was like amazing.
Yeah.
Like, so that transition, like once they kind of like got the theme out, like the dark theme, and then like so people were like into it, so now they can like so that's really true, like they have it established now, maybe the pressure is off now a little bit more, so the second one will be more like bigger or you know more extreme.
And I also think, I mean, to come back to the Leslie Jones piece a little bit, like, she especially didn't have as much to do because the characterization, like, started so much with these three scientists. Yeah. And I feel like now that, you know, the movie ends with them very much like a team.
Uh-huh.
So I'm hopeful in the next movie that she'll have a lot more to do because they don't have to worry about setting up, like, these three white women before they bring her into the movie, you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask how spread out it is as far as, like, the development of each, like, character. Like, is one of them kind of like the lead-ish?
Yeah, definitely the top lead is Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I would say her co-lead, because they have like a relationship that goes back to high school, like they've been friends for a super long time, is played by Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. And she was great in Spy. Like,
Spy
I was
awesome.
Surprised how much I like that movie.
I haven't seen the whole thing, but she's such a talented physical comedian.
Yeah.
It was actually cool because she was really toned down. Yeah. In Ghostbusters. She was kooky, but she was smart. She was really confident, and she was very, 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 very funny. Gillian Holtzman, the one played by Kate McKinnon, she was kind of like she was kind of brought in as like a friend of like the sidekick of Melissa McCarthy. Like, I would say
I can see that.
Yeah, and the thing that stood out to me about her performance specifically is that she seemed to know this character inside and out.
Yeah.
Even though we weren't given a lot of information about this character, she had, like, you could tell that through her performance that character had a rich, like, life outside of what we were seeing on screen. And it really came through. It was so well developed. I was actually really, really, really impressed by that. But hopefully, you know, overall, I thought it was really cute. I would give it, I guess, 3 out of 4 stars since nobody fucking asked me. and I look forward to actually seeing the next one. I look forward to specifically seeing how what more is not just done with Leslie Jones and whatever, like, films come next in this franchise, but also just, like, what is next for Leslie Jones, period.
So I think this is a good spot to actually just take a quick break. Welcome back. So speaking of Leslie Jones.
Yes.
And this movie, like, since the movie came out, shit's kind of went, not left for her, like, but there definitely has been, the reaction she's received to the movie has definitely been different, of a different tone, if you will, than everybody else in the film. And, like, that's kind of culminated in, there's this guy, Nero, on Twitter, who's actually, like a Breitbart editor. Or Breitbart. Is it Breitbart? I can't pronounce any
words. Don't give
today.
A fuck.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. But he led this, like, really fucking intense all-day, like, Twitter attack, like, against her in the most, like, and it just, like, in the most disgustingly racist and sexist way, like, possible. So he had a series of tweets. Basically, he called on everybody to point out all the typical, you know, white racist stereotypical tropes, like, you know, calling her an ape, a dog, like, you know, some sort of brute or a beast. And it started out with just him, and then it just, like, grew throughout Twitter, and she just got tweet after tweet after tweet of these, like, terrible, really, really terrible like memes and just racist jokes. And
Did this stem from him, like, seeing the movie? And, like, what was his deal? Like, what was he so angry about?
I mean, honestly, I think it was mostly just because he was white. But I think, you know, he saw the movie and basically he felt like she was not good in it. And the things he didn't like about her were all kind of wrapped up in her blackness and her appearance.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is not substantive at all,
no.
And mostly ridiculous, you know, but he felt like that was enough.
Yeah, and also, like, as a person who, like, has a job, has, like, some type of journalism.
Yeah, that's what was
position,
crazy.
Is that he felt, like, empowered and entitled to, like, think that all of, like, that nobody was gonna, like, you only act like that if you think you're not going to get checked or if you think that you will somehow gain praise for this.
I mean, and in certain circles, he did. But it's just all the, like, worst circles of
everybody who was at the convention.
Yeah, exactly.
The Republican convention. Yeah, and then he got banned from Twitter.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Which, so, I mean, came, like, way too late.
Yeah.
And so, like, and before this happened, you know, before he got banned, Leslie Jones was basically like, I have to shut down my account. Like, I can't take this anymore. And at first, she was kind of, like, responding to each one, like, I'm going to, like, put you on blast.
Yeah.
And then, like, making jokes about their appearance. But then, like, as the day went on, you could see, like, this was really, like, this was really bothering her.
Yeah.
This was really troubling her. Like, her tweets got more and more desperate. Like, can someone please help? Like, how do I stop this? You know?
Yeah. And the thing is that, like, you can say, all right, well, get off Twitter or whatever. But she's in a moment where she's promoting her movie. So she's like, she needs to be on Twitter.
Yeah.
And she needs to be checking her mentions. And, like, to have that assault of people is, like, you know, ridiculous. And then it became, yeah, this whole thing about, like, Twitter not, like, having the, like, reinforcements to, like, protect people from this.
Yeah.
And she, I mean, and the thing that was also interesting about, like, I mean, a lot of people acted almost like this was a brand new thing.
Right.
Like, I mean, this has happened to Leslie Jones, somebody who, you know, now has a platform.
Yeah.
You know, is a much larger figure. But, I mean, this shit happens, like, on a daily basis to a lot of people who we just don't really know.
Yeah.
Who, you know, don't have, like, 4-digit-plus followers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're receiving this type of treatment, like, every day, and there's no respite for them. But just seeing that attack was really troubling, just to see, like, how few, there's no real way to cut off this type of activity. Like, there's no way to escape that, you know?
No. Yeah.
Well, also, it's like, this is supposed to be a moment in her life where she's like, this is like, so I don't know if you read Clover, Eric and I, we both read the same New Yorker profile of Leslie Jones.
Yeah. I read, like, some of it.
And so, like, you really get a sense. It's written by Andrew Morantz. It came out, I want to say, sometime in the month of July. And you really get a sense for just how much this woman struggled to get what it is that she has in life. Like, I mean, she worked at being a comedian. She's worked at being a comedian for over 25 years.
Yeah, she's, like, 46.
Yeah. And she now, like, there's a part of the article where she's like, you know, it wasn't just like, oh, I'm 25, like, being like, oh, I don't know if this comedy shit is going to work out. She was like, I was 45. Like, I don't know if this comedy shit is going to work out. Like, that's serious. Like, I think about any, you know, I would think I was unemployed for, I was pretty unemployed for 6 months of 2013. And you would have thought that I was near death. Mm-hmm. And it's like, to think about, you don't know if you're ever going to get the job for over 20 years, right? So she's finally starring in a summer blockbuster.
Yeah.
She's like a writer on Saturday Night. No, she's a performer on Saturday Night Live. Like, you know, more people are paying attention to her stand-up. She is like, you know, she should feel on top of the world right now. And it breaks my heart that that is how she's had to spend this period of time. And even just like she needed a dress to wear to the premiere.
Right.
And she couldn't find anybody. There was no major designer that would make her a dress. And, like, fortunately, like, Christian Siriano saw that she had tweeted that. And, you know, he dressed her in something really, really beautiful. And she looked great. She said she felt great. And, like, that's a nice happy ending. But still, like, anytime, that's traumatic. Like, this should be a really great time in her life. And this shit is fucking ugly. And, like, the fact that she has to go through this, I mean, like, it's not different. It's not like this doesn't happen to, like, any black woman, regular black women. Like you say, women who have, you know, 150 followers, women who have 1,500, 150,000. It happens regardless, just being a black woman in public space. This is, like, an unfortunate and unavoidable cost. But there is something, like, something about this to me was so much uglier than almost any other, like, black women of around the same level of fame.
To me, it felt worse because of so much of who Leslie Jones, like, really, like, is, you know? And the attacks on her, like, really sought to pick at all the, like, worst elements or like, highlight all the worst elements of celebrity. You know, it was very much about her appearance, about her color, about, you know, her weight, her height. Like, it just really, people were really picking her apart in, like, the worst way, ignoring all the things that you just outlined, like, all her accomplishments, all the pieces of, like, this moment that she's in, like, her talent.
It's really, like, kind of like an example, right, of just how, just this, her being at the, she's Black, she's female, and then she has, like, this whole, like, physical humor element, and all those things, like, converging at this point where, like, you, it's visible to people, and it kind of just shows how much, how, like, damaging just the idea of being visible to people and, like, that being, like, the weapon that people can use. Being visible in this way that, like, you can look at her and make a joke or something, or, like, or people feel like you can look at her and, like, it's, like, an easy target or whatever. At least, like, the Breitbart thinking. It's, like, that's where it's coming from. It's, like, she's, like, a visible target, whereas, like, you know, being white and kind of makes you less of a, you know, like, you're not as easily, you have, like, the talent. People will talk more about the talent than, like, the, like, other stuff. Whereas her, it's, like, in the forefront, and it just shows how much, like, just being Black is, like, a target. And it's crazy that it's in this movie where she's surrounded by, like, three white women who the criticism has been that they haven't really, like, come to her defense.
They haven't.
They've been silent.
Like, Paul Feig had, like, one tweet, and he was a retweet.
What was it?
So, like, in response to this attack, there was another hashtag set up. It was, like, love for Leslie J. Mm-hmm. And basically it was all these people, fans, like, some celebrities, not, like, a whole lot, like Diane from Blackish. I forget her real name.
Little girl. Marseille.
Yeah. I love her so
Marseille.
Much.
Yeah. She actually had, like, a really great tweet. But,
she's literally in elementary school.
Yeah.
Like, children can understand this.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ.
And he just simply, like, retweeted one of those tweets of like, affirmation that other people had sent out for her. You know, but there was no defined statement. There was no, like, think piece of solidarity.
Yeah.
You know, like, kind of left her out there to dry.
It's, like, also, like, and, like, I think about the fact that she's not just Black, but she's dark-skinned. She's not necessarily slim. She's older. She's like, not just over 35, she's over 45. And she, an amazing physical comedian, which already just requires that you not be dainty. Mm-hmm. And all of these, like, she doesn't, if you think about, like, all of, like, any other, like, famous Black women, if you, like, let's say, okay, if you take their personal, like, personal character traits that we're all familiar with, if you take those out of it, like, so there's not really too much that separates Beyonce from Zendaya, from Rihanna, from, you know, anybody else. Everybody's very young. Or even, like, if you think about a Sanaa Lathan or a Gabrielle Union or Nia Long. What's that?
Kerry Washington.
Yeah, Kerry Washington or a Tracee Ellis Ross. They don't necessarily, they're not, you know, they're not under 30. They're not under 35. But they look damn, they look like, you know, not too much older than I do. I'm 28. Yeah. And it's like, they're, like, she's successful despite not fitting into all of, like the boxes that you have to check to be a famous Black woman and to go mostly generally unbothered. Like, I would say, okay, so it's not like, I'm sure it's not like any of the Black women that I just mentioned, it's not like they have no one coming after them, but I don't think it's anybody who is coming up with after them with the same, like, in the same public nature, in a way that feels like a very personal assault, and in a way that just shows flagrant disregard for any, like, any whisper of consequence. Like I said, you only behave like that if you think that no one's going to check you or if you think you're going to be celebrated for it. It breaks my heart. When I was reading the New Yorker piece, it really lined up for me just, like, how much, even throughout the process of her joining Saturday Night Live, like, how she gave this really fantastic audition when they were holding secret auditions for Black women. She knows that she killed her audition, but they were like, oh, you know, we're going to hire Sasheer Zamata instead, which, you know, no shade. She's funny.
I forgot about that.
She's talented. Like, she's been doing improv for a long time.
She was hired as a writer first.
Yeah. And so Leslie Jones was hired as a writer first. Now, like, and then they realized that she was so talented that they should bump her up to, like, to being a performer, because, like, she, like, the fact that she was able to even, like, writing, like she says in the article, writing wasn't her forte.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, her talent was so undeniable that she was able to, like, push through with that. And then they were like, well, we have to have this woman performing. She starts performing. And then, like, other opportunities have been able to come in from there. But even I think about, like, Chris Rock has been a champion for her for a while, but, like, she had to be like, you know, if I'm so goddamn funny, fucking hook me up.
Yeah.
She had to still, like,
fight.
Yeah, she had to still fight somebody who knew her and who like was in a position to set her up with something to get even just an audition that like, I mean, name any young, funny black woman, whether she's on YouTube or not, they were at that audition. Issa Rae had that audition. Francesca Ramsey had that audition. Like, you know what I'm saying? Leslie Jones is somebody who had been working the circuit for a long ass time and had like a list a mile long of people in the industry who knew who she was, who were fellow comedians who were probably in a position to put her name in, like throw her name into a ring. And it just sucks because it's like she went through all this bullshit to get to the point where she's at now. Now she's at that point and she's dealing with a whole new fucking mound of bullshit. Yeah. And like, she's still not getting the level of support from not just like her co-stars. She's also not getting the same level of support from us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing that kind of sucked even about the response to the trailer. So the response to the trailer, like, and I'm somebody who was offended by the trailer.
I was too.
You know, but I did kind of recognize a situation where people could use that as an excuse not to ultimately support her presence in the film. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Like you can have issues with the role she's chosen to take, you know, the way that they portray that role in the film. You should also recognize the significance of her even being in that role, though.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's for all the things that you highlighted because of her age, because of the type of humor that she does, you know what I'm saying? Because of what she looks like. That's still very significant to even have her be in the mix because they don't typically let us be in there like that.
No.
You know?
No.
That said, like, I still was like, I want to make sure she, you know, she gets a chance. She gets a shot.
Yeah,
she's going to get my
$15. Exactly.
You know? And I think.
I mean, shit, she didn't make Nina.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Could have been worse.
It could have been worse.
You know, in some cases, people have kind of used that as an excuse to hide all the other reasons. They might be, like, not fully supporting her, if you know
yeah.
what I'm saying, that play into all the same reasons that, like, Nero attacked her.
Yeah.
And that, like, that really is kind of a shame, especially in this situation now where she needs that support now more than ever.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I don't want to say, like, no black people came to her defense.
No.
There's always some black women. Like a black woman, I would say, like, it seemed to cape for her harder than anybody else because, like, you know, who else is going to take up for us at any point in time? But it's just, like, I think that, like, I just think she deserves, I think that she's owed more and I think that she deserves better.
Yeah. And she, I mean, she's made it a point to also highlight the people who really inspired her. Like, she was recently on The View.
Yeah, yeah, the Whoopi Goldberg. And she was talking about, like, just how important and significant it was for her to see someone who looked like her. And not look like her, like, just a black woman. Look like her, like, dark-skinned comedian who is not, like, the average, like, skinny Hollywood ideal. And that's important. Then, like, Leslie is important to, like, the future Leslies. And so I think she knows that. You know, part of the reason, like, she recognizes she kind of needs to be on Twitter, you know,
yeah.
like, she needs to, I mean, it's never going to go away,
yeah.
The Twitter trolls and, like, racists. But, yeah, thankfully, she realized, like, her significance, like, in that medium. And I'm glad that she, like, tweeted about it. And, like, she didn't ignore, you know, some people would just, like, ignore them.
Yeah.
And, you know, she tweeted through it, basically. Like, she kind of, like, let me just tweet through this. Maybe she's in a better place now emotionally, but in a better place as far as, like, you know, just recognizing the role that she has and the whole Whoopi thing. Like,
yeah.
It's like paying forward.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's important now that, you know, we do kind of going back to what you said, like, in terms of the fact that she has to be visible. People need to make sure that we aren't rewarding, like you said, like, ignoring. Like, she obviously has the right to ignore, you
mm-hmm.
know, whatever hate and, like, attacks that might be coming her way. But that doesn't mean everybody should ignore it. You know,
yeah.
like, we need to make sure that there is some level of protection for people's humanity not to be attacked.
Yeah.
You know, because, like you said, she has no choice but to be visible. She can't afford not to, not just for her own career, but for the people who she wants to inspire like she had been inspired.
Right. It's interesting, yeah, that she is the one who has been kind of the most in the forefront from that movie, at least from I've seen her in the most interviews. I've seen her, like, on social media more, in the media more, because of this, because she has to be visible and because she's so visible in all these ways. It's just that whole, you can't escape being Black.
Yeah. I mean, the stakes are higher for her.
Like, yeah, exactly.
The stakes are so much higher for her. You're right. I didn't even really notice. But yeah, there hasn't been as much promotion. Like, there was a standard rush of interviews.
Like the talk show circuit. But I've definitely seen her, maybe because her personality is more like outsized. I saw her on what show was it? Kelly, Live with Kelly. I did a post about like how she was so, she had so much energy.
She's a good guest.
Yeah, she's a really good guest. So I guess that's part of it. Like, she's just like a good person to book. But I just really, I haven't seen, you know, the others as, you know.
I mean, they're going to have another movie, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. They'll have something else to promote.
Exactly.
Yeah. I genuinely hope more comes out of this for Leslie Jones.
Same.
She's so funny. And she has so much talent. And she's also like, what is it? She said at the very end of the New Yorker piece, like, she's like, I'm so glad this happened to me at 46, not 23. Sure. She's like, 23-year-old Leslie would have slept with half of the people on the set. And I'm just like, right. I mean, like, it's like she has sense enough to not fuck up whatever is coming her way. Do you know? Because she's grown as hell. I just hope that I get to see more of her.
Yeah.
Like, I just hope. It's the same sad shit we always say whenever something happens to a good Black.
It's like Lupita. You know, it was like, please let her get more roles. Yeah. Like, and not just have it be a moment.
Yes.
You know?
She's gotten some roles. None of them where you can really see her face. Because she was in, like, the Jungle Book adaptation and also
Star Wars. Yeah.
Star Wars. And it's just kind of like, okay, this is a obscenely gorgeous woman. Can I please just
not make her a CGI character?
Yes. Or a slave. Can I just see her? Like, I would love to see her, like, eating brunch.
Yeah.
Going on a date, shopping, doing, you know, my regular Nancy Meyer activities. But, yeah, no, I hope there's more for Leslie Jones after this that, like, is not... I feel like through Saturday Night Live, the little I've seen of this show, I've seen like a few different sides of her. I saw a different side of her with Ghostbusters, and she obviously has an amazing and robust personality in real life. And I'm just like, I hope I get to see more.
Same. I mean, at least there's a sequel. I think Sony has, like, at this point, committed so much money that they
right? It's like a $150 million movie.
Yeah.
Was that the budget?
Yeah.
Because it made like 40 something the opening weekend.
Yeah.
Do you think there'll be? I mean, I guess there has to be a sequel. Like,
I think they have. I mean.
Yeah, it seemed pretty likely just from watching it. That I was like, oh, they're not going to just let this hang. They got a good thing going. I can't lie.
So, yeah, we'll see. On that note, Clover, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming.
It's great.
Where can people find you?
Clovito on Twitter. It's just Clovito. And that's like my just name throughout social media. And just on Jezebel, writing about pop culture, cat videos, Black stuff, and a lot more.
Yes. Well, we definitely look forward to seeing more from you.
Yes.
And you can obviously find us here and on Twitter. Please go to iTunes and write us a
rate
nice
and
review.
5 stars only.
Really appreciate it.
That's everything. That's all we know.
That's it.
That's all we got.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.